This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Friends, Pastor Scott reminds us of the importance of cultivating and sustaining our relationships with God and those around us. This message was recorded on Sunday, June 28, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope. Today is a day that your coffee will stay hot. Yeah, you know, some mornings we come here, I make coffee, and by the time I get to drink it, it's iced coffee, but not today. I mean, God set it up perfectly so that we can go to Coconut Island and kind of cool off. And oh, yesterday was a real scorcher. Yesterday, if you went to the beach, you were smart. And even this morning, if you wear shorts, man, aren't you glad that God says, come as you are? Imagine, you know, you see it on TV, you go to some other churches where they have a suit and a tie, and I think if I had to dress like that every Sunday, I'd probably lose like 10 pounds every week, because as it is, it's hot, but as it is when you stand up here, it's hotter. And just, it's just a beautiful, beautiful day, and I'm so happy that even though it's hot and humid, that God has called me to live in such a beautiful, beautiful place. Amen? Hey, last week was Father's Day. How many of you fathers got what you wanted? Yeah? How many of you fathers got what you deserve? Trick question, yeah? Because if you got what you deserve, then who knows, yeah? Yeah, it was a wonderful day. Thank you so much for being here. But last week, in part of our message, you know, one of the points was that fathers need friends. And kind of taking from that and going further, you know, the more and more I go through life, the more and more I realize that, man, I need people in my life who will be my friends. People that I can hang out with, people that, you know, when I'm having a bad day, I can go and sit and talk to them, and they will lift up your spirits and not like condemn you and put you down. You know, I know that I can hang out with them, and I know that I can come to them when I have a problem. And you know you're good friends, because when you're having a problem and you're broke, they're still the ones who are there. Amen? You know, if you ever had a breakup in your life, man, or heartbreaking thing, you probably had someone there to take the time and to comfort you. And if you didn't, then this message is for you. I had people come to me from other churches, and they tell me, you know, I got sick, I went to the hospital, nobody came to visit me, nobody came to pray for me, so they left the church. And one of the questions I ask is, how many friends did you make there? Then they say, friends? Who has time for friends? You see, part of the reason we gather here on Sunday is for the fellowship, amen? I mean, you come to hear the word of God preached, but man, I like afterwards when we get to hang out and sit down and talk story and get to know one another. And that's why for me on Sundays, people said, you know, you shouldn't be coming here at 5:30 and setting up the chairs. That's not your job. But you know what? I come at 5:30 so I can fellowship with all the guys who come and set up, and I get to hang out and talk story. That is like, for me, that's what I get out of coming here and setting up. It's so much fun. And, you know, sometimes people, they come to church, they come in right at, you know, 9 o'clock or maybe 9:15, and right at 9:59, just when they're ending, poof, they're gone. Yeah, I know who you're laughing. Yeah, that's you. And you might be just like too busy to hang around and make friends. But that's what we need to do. Because, I mean, yeah, we have God, but man, isn't it nice to have somebody to sit down with, have a cup of coffee, and just enjoy the company? You know, in Hebrews, they say that, you know, we should not give up meeting together. I mean, we got to keep doing this. You know, because some people stop. Some people stop meeting. Some people stop coming to church. He says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, we gather each week so that we can encourage you. You can say, hey, how are you doing? How was your week? Hey, you're looking good. And if we have problems, you can say, you know what, I had a really rough week. Can you pray for me? Shoot, we got your back. We pray for you. We love you. We encourage you. And when you leave here, you should be refreshed. Amen? If you leave here and you feel beat up, drained or anything, then write me a note and then I'll go take it up to God and ask God, what am I doing wrong? Yeah. So we really do need these friendships. And the most important one of all, number one, friendship with God. I mean, that's the first friendship that we're gonna make sure that we have right, is the one that goes up and down with God. I don't know how I did life for 37 years without being God's friend, but, you know, always working against him. And after becoming God's friend, man, my eyes was open. My heart was full of joy. My life has been incredible. It's exciting. It's a journey. And it's been so much fun. James 2:23, and the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. He believed God. Whatever God told him, he believed, he obeyed. And it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. When you read God's word and he tells you something, do you like, nah, I don't think so. Or do you like, yes, Lord, I believe that what you said, when I confess with my mouth, believe with my heart, I believe. You know, Abraham believed, and he was called God's friend. You know, we can have that friendship with God. It's not like, you know, a billion miles away and unreachable, and you got to climb up valley walls and, you know, do 10 million different things. It is there for you. And so how do we get this friendship? How do we become a friend of God? In James, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I mean, how do you get close to somebody? I mean, right now, you could try squeeze into one chair, but that would be kind of disgusting. I mean, right? So how do you draw near? Man, I believe you draw near to God by spending some time with him. You know, just sitting, like I said, sit down at his feet and listen. Psalms 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. How many of you pray? Yeah, and that's, you call upon him. You ask him to be your friend. You talk to him. You communicate with him. And you listen to him. Yeah? That's an important part. When you pray, you also listen. Yeah. Sometimes we talk too much and we give God a list of everything I want and we don't wait for a response. We don't turn our ear and say, okay, Lord, I'm listening. Speak. Be still and let him speak. But that's because being a friend of God, that is the first and most important friendship we all gonna need. Amen? Okay, so number two. Some of us may be friendless. Man, that is sad. Psalms 88:18. You have removed lover and friend far from me. My acquaintances are in darkness. Some of us right now, we may be in a very dark place. We don't know who we can trust. We're not sure if we have a friend. And if you are in that place, go to that first point and look to God to be your first friend. And then, you know, once you get that connection, and then you can ask God, you know what, God, I need physical friends, human friends, brothers and sisters. Look around here. Look next to you. Look behind you. There are so many people in here that can be a very good friend. We got young men. We got young women. We don't have any old women here. They're all young. Amen? We got sports fanatics. We got fishermen. We got carpenters, masons, doctors. We got computer techie guys. We got nurses. I mean, we got them all in here. We do. And, you know, they're right here for you. We just got to find that common ground so that we can relate to one another and start that friendship. And if you don't, if you can't relate to any of the things that I just said, come see me after service and I'll teach you how to fish. Yeah? That's a good thing. Okay, so how do you avoid being friendless? Because, man, that's a lonely place to be friendless, yeah? You know, Proverbs 18:1, unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. Man, this is what it is. Yeah. If you're friendless, you got to look. Am I just thinking about myself? You know, is life revolving around me? And am I the center of life? You might want to think, if you don't have any friends, is it like that? Am I like that? You know, sometimes for me, I just gotta stop working and I gotta go take the guys fishing just so that I can be their friend and hang out with them. I gotta bait their hook and take off their fish and clean their catch. Man, yeah, it's like, what a tough job. You know, sometimes friendships, they don't just fall out of the sky and fall down into your lap. They don't fall on like rain. Man, you gotta look for it. And, you know, if you are feeling like that, if you are feeling in a dark place, you are feeling like you don't have friends, man, let us know, because I mean, there are so many people in here that would like to be your friend. And we would love to encourage you. We'd love to hang out with you. Amen? Then there's number three. There's bad friends. Man, how many of you been there? How many of you had bad friends? In Deuteronomy 13, if your very own brother or your son or daughter or the wife you love or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, let us go and worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your fathers have known, gods of the peoples around you, whether near or far, or from the end of the land to the other, do not yield to him or listen to him. Show him no pity. Do not spare him or shield him. Some, you know, not all people that we hang around we could call good friends. At one time, believe it or not, I was a very bad friend to my wife. I persecute her. I do just ungodly things because I wasn't walking with God. And if you read and understand the Bible, you would be called Job. Remember Job? He had some guys, when he was down and out and getting boss up, his friends, so-called friends, came alongside him and was just telling him everything that he probably did wrong to deserve this. Man, that's not a very good friend. And they were saying, that's why these things are happening to you, because you must have done something bad. And we don't do that here. We encourage one another. We pray for one another. We lift up one another. So the thing is, for you and I, how do you avoid bad friends? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You know, Paul used this proverb to tell the people that, man, if you hang around the bad guys, you're going to get corrupted. I mean, you've had those friends before, right? The Scotch Hiromas in your life, right? The guys who say, come on, we go out to drink. Let's go fishing. The ones who, you know, I would make so much fun of them when we were out drinking and their wives would call. Man, you know what I had? I had a name for those wives. They were called wardens. Yeah, and I don't know if you ever hung around with me back then. It's like the wife would call and said, what? You got to go check in. The warden is calling you back. And I would take them fishing on Christmas Eve, on New Year's Eve. And, you know, I was the guy that when I came around, the parents said, oh, not him again. Why you hang around this guy? He's bad influence. And I was a bad friend to many. Yeah. And that's why, you know, when we had the graduates up here the other week, that's why I prayed for them to have and to be surrounded by good friends when they go off to college. You know, when we prayed that for my children, and when Kayla was away at UNLV, she met some wonderful, wonderful people. And what her friends did is, you know, Thanksgiving, it's like on a Thursday. You ain't going to fly them back on a Thursday and fly them back on Sunday unless you get plenty of money. Right? So Thanksgiving, they're up there. And she had friends that would bring her into their home and have them share Thanksgiving meal together. She had a friend when she was sick that she would bring her to her house and she would care for her. And I would like, wow, God, you answered our prayers, because you surrounded her with great friends. You know, there's some friends that, man, the bad ones that you have now, that you just gotta pray for them from a very, very far distance, yeah? Because sometimes if you were to hang around them, they give you bad advice. Yeah? I think for us, you know, if we wanted to be good friends, man, we would give them advice that comes out of the Word of God, so that way they wouldn't be able to say that, oh, Scott said this or that, but the Word of God said. So the thing is, how do we not be bad friends? In John 13:34, Jesus says this: a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And even so, let's look at this. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. It's hard to love others like how God loves us. On our own physical strength, no way. But with Jesus living in your heart, it's possible. Amen? I mean, here is where the ball is in our court. We have some power. We get to be a friend. We get to encourage. We get to be a mouthpiece. Or maybe an earpiece. Sometimes, in order for us to be a friend, sometimes we just gotta listen. Amen. And not just talk. Imagine what it would be like, you know, for a so-called friend of yours would come to you when you had a problem. And they would just talk, and keep on talking. And then when they're finished talking, see you later, bye. But you was the one having the problems and you're the one suffering. That would be pretty difficult, amen? You know, and then, number four, good friends. How do you be a good friend? Paul shared this in Romans when he met this couple. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. They met when they were all kicked out of Rome, and they had the same trade. They were tent makers. And Paul ended up living with them. They became really, really good friends. I mean, if you have good friends in your life, man, the first thing you do is, you know what? You say, thank you, Lord, for putting this friend in my life. Some people call it a grounding rod because you can vent and vomit to this person, and they will not go and tell everybody else what you're going through, but they will love you and they will encourage for you. Okay, so the thing is, how do you make and how do you keep good friends? Because it's very important. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Yeah, and when we talk about that, it's like, you know, when you love somebody, and they say love covers a multitude of sins, it's like when you love somebody, you can look past their faults and beyond that because of love. You know, being a Christian is not like being an island. It's not like being alone. Yeah? When you and I can have that friendship and experience love and fellowship and have that human network of support and help in crisis, you know, that is what I believe true friendship to be like. And you know what? God did not create us to be hermits or to be loners. I think God created us to have friends and to have fellowship. Amen? You know, making good friends is not that hard. But keeping them, once they get to know you, might be difficult. Once they find out all your little habits and quirks and stuff, they might like, oh, I never know he was like that. But man, if you can love people like how God loves us, you can get past that. And if you can love, love would overlook your little habit. You will love them for who they are, not what they do. Amen? Sometimes you just gotta just. I think a lot of it has to do with walls. A lot of times we put up walls because we're defensive. How many of you have been hurt by friendship before? And so that makes us kind of shy. And I just let it all hang out, and I leave myself vulnerable, knowing that God has my best interest. And if I'm going to be hurt, God's going to mend me up and wound me. But I love to make friends. I love to meet people. You know, and you got to just take that chance. Make that effort to go and find friends. And you know what? This is a great place to start, because you know what? I think a lot of us has in common is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's a good foundation to start when looking for friends. So how, you know, I want to do this, but how do I be a good friend? You know, what do I have to offer to anybody else? How can I be a good friend to anybody who needs a friend? And remember this, Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. But with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Sometimes, you know, we have friends that we hang around with, or people we call friends that we hang around, who only want to do what they want to do. You know, if they only want to go surfing, that's all they want to do, and every time you want to hang out with them, you got to surf, but you don't surf. You know, it's like, wow, but when you want to go fishing, they don't want to go with you because that's not their thing. You know, sometimes we got to look, it's like, how can I be unselfish? How can I look at this scripture and do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, that each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Sometimes we got to be there to listen. We got to be there to pray. And sometimes when people need friends, the last thing they need is one of us coming up to them and getting all Christianese on them and passing out scriptures. Sometimes we just got to be there to sit and listen. You know, a lot of times I get called to the hospital when someone passes away or when someone is sick. When someone passes away, they usually take the body downstairs into the chapel. And they give you so many hours that they can leave the body out. And being that that's a loved one, they take every single minute of that time to be there. And when they call me up to go, it's not like I go there, sit in the chapel, and I read scriptures or I preach a sermon. 90% of the time, I sit in the corner of the room. And I just stay there. They don't need me to say a word. They don't need a scripture. They just want you to be there. I don't know why. Maybe it's comforting to have me sit in the corner of a room and be quiet. But they just want me to be there. So I go and I sit in the corner. And if they want me to say something or a prayer, then when they ask, can you say a prayer? Sure thing. I say a prayer. And I go sit back in the corner. And when they take the body away, that's my cue that, okay, it's time, I can leave. And sometimes you may think, like, wow. But I sat in that room for 3 hours and waited with people just to be a friend. Because when it comes down to serving and loving God, one thing I learned, and you might want to get this, it's not about me. It's never about me. It's about God. Amen? And when you can catch that, man, you'll be a good friend to many, many people. Amen?
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.